so, and, but some of those trips are like my best memories, you know. The London Olympics was, you know, great memories. Colleen Loach and Dana Cook were also grooming at that games. They've also gone on to do really big things. So it's really cool. I mean, it's really cool to see people that, you know, this is how a lot of us got our start. And I don't know if people quite realize that.
Welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
Cowboy Magic recognizes that there's special pets in our lives, the horses, the dogs, the, you know, who knows all different furry friends that we have. So Cowboy Magic is doing the Cowboy Magic Moment, Karen. Mm-hmm. So tell us about all this amazing Cowboy Magic Moment promotion that's going on.
Sure. You can share your story behind magic with your horse or your dog, and selected entries will be highlighted on the Cowboy Magic socials. And you could be chosen to be part of the Cowboy Magic Moment commercial, where they'll send a film team to your home, barn, or town to create another special moment.
How fancy would that be, Karen? You come, film crew comes, you get to tell your story and have a professional commercial made about you and your story. You are listening at home and you know you have a special horse or dog or whatever.
Right.
And you want to share that story. The world needs to know your story, and Cowboy Magic wants to help you tell that story. So go to cowboymagic.com/magicmoments and you'll get more details. There's a video from Doug Payne telling his magic moment story. And then there's an entry with, you know, your name and address and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. You can enter a video. You can enter photos. You can type it up and submit it. And this could be you. Also use hashtag Cowboy Magic Moments, which you saw us use that during our time in Kentucky. And you'll learn all about it. Get your story in. Hashtag your social medias with this. And you could be the star of the next Cowboy Magic commercial, right, Karen?
You sure can. This episode is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. To learn more about Red and Goat, visit their Facebook and Instagram pages and go to redandgoatequestrian.com.
When it comes to insurance, there's only one person to call to cover all of your insurance needs. Whether it's for your horse, your farm, your home, or business, Trish Scott has you covered. Her number is 484-319-8923. Trish was a guest on the show just a few weeks ago, and we were talking about insurance. And after talking to her, it really got me thinking, I am not fully insured. I got insurance, yeah, but I'm not properly insured. Think about this. Do you have tack? Is your horse insured? Is your trailer insured? Do you have rental insurance? If you teach, do you have insurance in case someone gets hurt while you're teaching them, whether on your property or off? These are all some serious, serious things to think about. If you have any questions about if you are properly insured, just give Trish a call at 484-319-8923 to discuss your plan, and she'll look it over and she'll tell you if you're properly insured. So give her a ring, 484-319-8923, and tell her Karen and Rob from Major League Eventing sent you.
The other day I came home to a surprise on the table. There was a box that was beautifully gift wrapped with Fairfax and Favors gift wrapping. Rob surprised me with a pair of Alexander trainers. And if you don't know what a trainer is, it's basically a sneaker or a tennis shoe. They are super cute, super comfortable. They are my go-to shoe now. I can't believe I even wore sneakers out in town. You could dress them up, dress them down, and you'll definitely stand out in a crowd when you wear these. To learn more and to order your pair, go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
Keep your horse dry this rainy season with the Rain Turtle by Turtleneck. Like all turtleneck blankets, they have the patented stretch features that fit your horse in all the right places. The blanket comes with a free spare parts kit, including the belly straps and rear leg straps.
And an extra detachable fleece collar. And you also get a waterproof off-season storage bag.
Yeah, the Rain Turtle has a 3-year waterproof warranty, so you know if it lasts that long, you might need an extra part here. Mm-hmm. So, the 3-year warranty, it comes in sizes 62 to 86, and it comes in a 2-piece also. Mm-hmm. So, the 2-piece is the rain sheet plus a liner.
Yes.
Comes in 2 different weights. Mm-hmm. And the 3-piece has the sheet, the liner,
And a neck protector.
And the neck protector. So, for more information for sizing temperature guidelines, go to turtleneck.biz and order yours today. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there.
Mm-hmm.
Premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Triplecrownfeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people to support the show.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Rob. Karen, super excited about this episode of Major League.
I know.
We serendipity led us to this guest.
Yes,
Karen.
Yes, you manifested it.
Karen manifested this guest. So we met her in Kentucky, Karen.
Yes, we
super
did.
Super excited. Welcome to the show, Natalia Neneman.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys.
So we stood in line to go see Natalia.
And Allie. And Allie Knowles. And Holly Bennett.
And Karen said, I want to get Natalia on the show.
Yes, I did.
And I said, well, let's
go.
Let's do it. And then I don't know if it was you or Allie was like, who's the next guest? And we're like, could be you.
It's me. So, I feel honored.
No, yeah, we're honored that you accepted it. It's very cool. It was, isn't that funny how that worked?
It is. It is.
That she even knew that we do a little podcast. So, so thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we met you in Kentucky. We saw you in Kentucky. We're going to get into that, Karen.
Yes,
we're
going to
talk
are.
About Kentucky. Yes. What a fantastic week it always is. But we're coming by Zoom right now.
Natalia, which I figured out.
Natalia
figured out. Which I should get some sort of medal for because technology and I don't mix.
No, she's a pro, Karen.
She did good. She's now a pro Zoomer.
Pro Zoomer.
There you go.
So we just always like to ask, you know, where are you coming to us from now since we're not in the same room?
I am in Ocala, Florida at home.
It's Ocala at home. Is that a year-round? Is that your year-round base?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually live in Williston, but that's like 10 minutes from Ocala. And we're here year-round. Been here year-round, I guess, going into my sixth year now.
Wow.
So, yeah, we enjoy it.
Karen, are we eventually going to make it to Ocala year-round, you and me?
I don't know.
What's going on? Let's do it. Let's just pack it up.
Pack it up.
I'm ready to just sell the house, buy an RV, live out of an RV, and just travel.
Living out of RV.
There you go.
No,
I think it sounds like a good idea.
Apparently, it was just shot down. Shot down. There's no mad life for us. Oh, well.
No.
Okay. So, well, that hurts my feelings. I wanted to be going, but oh well. You see, that's how it goes, Natalia. She shoots.
Happy wife, happy life, Rob. Yeah.
Everybody thinks that I do all the, you know, because I'm the yappy one. I make the decisions, but no, the real boss is right there next to me.
I can't live in an RV.
Oh, yeah. Pack up the dogs.
Anyway.
So, back to the regular scheduled program. Or regular, how does that, whatever.
Regular scheduled program.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So Natalia, can you take us back and tell us how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah. So I actually grew up in Park City, Utah. And so mainly full of winter athletes. However, my dad was very into racehorses and he owned a few racehorses. So I basically grew up on the backside of the track, going to the races every weekend. And so then just got pretty into horses. And then when I got my first pony and went to the first barn, it just happened to be an eventing barn. So it was kind of, that was what we did. And I was hooked ever since. but it was not it's kind of hard in Utah. Obviously it's not a huge thing there. But there's a very small contingent of people there that are very serious about it. So that's how we got our start.
Wow. That was one of the most abbreviated "how'd you get your starts" we ever heard. We need to go deep dive, Natalia. Yeah, yeah. Well, so tell us, like, how old were you when you kind of finally started riding and had and that progression?
So the story goes, my dad put me on my first horse when I was 2, and it was a 4-year-old, and it was a pony horse for the track. And admittedly, like, he probably didn't know too much about horses other than how to bet on them. And bucked me right off. 2 years old, no helmet, bloody lip, the whole bit. And he said I wanted to get right back on. I'm not totally sure if that's true, but I got right back on. So, and then it just kind of progressed from there, you know, leased this tiny mini horse named Goliath when I was 4. I was not a very brave kid on a horse. I think I had to be like coerced into, you know, jumping cross rails and going on hacks. And I remember this, one hack, we would go out and I thought it was like the steepest mountain in the world. And it was, you know, probably not even a hill. So that took me a little bit to get going. And then, the barn we were at was called Tally Ho Farm, in Park City, Utah. And we used to go on these desert trips. So we would take our horses down to the desert, down to the Swell, which is probably 3 or 4 hours south. And we'd go camp with the horses for like 1 to 2 weeks. And we would just trail ride from campsite to campsite. And you could tie them to trees. And we swam in the lakes and swam across the rivers with the horses. And I think probably then that's when I got a little bit braver, and you kind of just figure out how to ride, and you go riding all day. Even sometimes into the night, if you get lost, and then you just camp and then you keep riding the next day. And, we would do that twice a year. And that was always something we really looked forward to, was desert camp. It was like a big deal. It was probably, she took down 20 kids, 20 horses, and, like big campfire Dutch oven dinners. It was awesome. And so, I mean, it's probably not like the most orthodox start into professional riding, but it was a lot of fun. And you get really, it just kind of get comfortable on a horse. And then, you know, through high school, competed. It was hard competing out of Utah, because you'd have to, like, the traveling was like, you know, to go to any event, you're driving at least 8 hours. We had one local, or maybe 2 local events at the time. So it was a lot of time away from school. It was a lot of time on, you know, my parents' part, you know, driving me to and from the horse shows. But I competed all through high school, and, you know, I was pretty serious about it. I said, probably as serious as, probably not actually as serious as some kids are in high school. But, and then when I was, you know, 18, and it came time to decide about school or about horses, I was really not into school. And so I thought, well, horses sound pretty good. And so then I actually got, my friend of mine was moving out to California to work for Holly Bennett. And she's like, well, you can come out there. And so I did. And I started working for Holly, and I ended up being with her probably better part of 5-6 years maybe. And I went and I groomed for her at the Olympics and the Pan Ams, the WEG, Badman, Burley, several Kentuckys. And that's really where I got my start, really doing it seriously, you know, not just, you know, kind of a weekend warrior or camping in the desert. And then I knew pretty quickly that's what I wanted to do. And I actually distinctly remember the conversation with my dad while I was grooming at WEG, staying in the little groom village and the campers. And I was still doing some online school at the time. And I called him and I said, this is a waste of your money. The school is a waste of your money. I'm not into it. I don't love it. I'm not very good at it. I just want to ride. This is what I'm going to do. And he said, well, if that's what you're going to do, do it. But you have to, like, really kind of dive in. And that was that. And so I was with Holly for a long time, and the amount I learned there was tremendous. Managing horses at that level, that was kind of my first peek into what, you know, top level eventing looked like. And it was awesome, because I got to travel all around the world. And And then we came, I actually was only supposed to be out east for 2 months, getting ready for London. Holly was getting ready for London and we were coming out here to do her, you know, prep events. And I had a couple horses at the time. So brought them out as well and stayed at Buck's place and I was hooked. And so I made the decision to move out east. And that was a big decision because my family was out west. My boyfriend, now husband at the time, was out west. So it was a big leap. It was a scary leap, but I'm really glad I did it. And then I worked for Buck from 2012 to 2016. And then in 2016, I ventured out on my own. So it kind of segued, you know, I was always into horses, really loved horses, but I wouldn't say like, you know, from the age of seven, I thought I was going to be a professional. Like, you know, I was seven, I was trail riding my pony in the desert in a, you know, Western saddle and cruising around, and then probably really got super serious about it when I was 18 or 19.
Wow.
What do you think about desert camp, Karen?
I don't know. Her story sounds fun, but, you know, camping's not for me at all.
I think it sounds pretty awesome.
It was really awesome. And we're a big camp, like, we're a big camping family. So, I mean, but it was cool. I mean, I remember, you know, you get lost and you just spend, you'd be out there for hours, you'd be out there till dark, and you just kind of figure it out. And so, you know, you become pretty handy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm a big scaredy book cat when it comes to getting lost in the desert.
I guess when you're a kid, you don't really like think about it. Right. You're like, oh, fine, you know, ride in the moonlight. And probably the adults were like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah. But,
when you're a kid, everything just seems cool.
Yeah. That's really cool. I think I know. This is probably the most unique we've ever heard. We've never heard anyone else
doing this type of stuff. Not at all.
Incredible.
Yeah.
That's very
really cool.
Well, that's what I think is great is that we get to hear the different ways people started. You know, not everyone started out just being brave. And, you know, it sounds like you were brave at two where you pop back on, but, you know, it took you
right out of the desert. I don't know how much choice I had with that.
That's funny. And then you went to Hall, which is funny because then Holly in Kentucky, when we met Holly, she kind of popped in on your signing. So that's really cool. I didn't know that you had worked for her at the time. So that was probably fun.
Yeah.
Sitting next to your old coach. Yeah. And boss.
I worked for her a long time and basically groomed, the mare she had, Gin and Juice, groomed through her pretty much most of her career. Yeah. So that was very cool. I mean, I learned, you know, you learn a ton grooming that, like, you know, more than half of doing this is knowing how to manage horses at this level. And so I think that's the way to know how to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, as a groom, it sounds like you were the head groom. Were you the head groom or?
Yeah. After
so
a time.
How did you manage that? Cause it seems like, you know, that's a career in itself. So how do you manage that? And then having aspirations of going on your own. Did you always have aspirations of going on your own? Was it like,
I was always competing and, it's really, you know, you got to figure out, I think the biggest thing is time management, how you're going to make everything run smoothly and how, you know, you're going to prioritize, you know, everyone getting great care on top of competitive goals. It's a lot of juggling and I wouldn't say it's like tremendously easy, but I think when you can really make it run smoothly and it goes well and it's really, really rewarding. And I think once you figure out that you can do that, then you feel like, well, if I can do that, I can do whatever. And maybe that's right or wrong, but you know, if I can ride three at an FEI and groom for three at an FEI, you know, I could probably make a go of it. And, but it wasn't without, I mean, we always had good help and, but I would say it's mainly comes down to how organized you can be and how you manage your time.
Yeah. And as the head groom, you had to put Holly's horses first. I mean, which you always do when you work for somebody, you always put their horses first, but as the head groom, it's even that much more amplified that, you know, cause you're in charge, you know? So.
Yeah. And so you just figure out how to, you know, do that. And also, you know, you choose certain events. Okay. These horses are going to this event. These horses are going to that event. And And it worked great. And she always was a big supporter of all my goals as well. So it worked quite nicely. And, you know, I made a huge network of knowing a bunch of people when I was, you know, when I was grooming, and people that I'm really good friends with to this day that I can still go and ask, oh, hey, how do you know, I need advice on this, or, and so that's really cool. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, as a kid, I didn't know anything, admittedly. I thought I did, but the older you get, the less, you know. And, but some of those trips are like my best memories, you know. The London Olympics was, you know, great memories. Colleen Loach and Dana Cook were also grooming at that games. They've also gone on to do really big things. Yeah. So it's really cool. I mean, it's really cool to see people that, you know, this is how a lot of us got our start. And I don't know if people quite realize that.
Well, no, that, like, actually, we just saw Dana. We had Dana on the show. Mm-hmm. We had Colleen on the show too.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that they both had
groomed. Yeah, we all groomed in London together.
Wow.
That's really cool.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to like watch them, you know, watch Colleen now that she's done 2 Olympics and Dana's on fire right now. And so it's awesome.
Yeah, sure is.
We were hanging out with Dana and her husband a little bit at the Red and Go TV.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her. She's got a little fundraiser going on. So check out her page to help her out. That's really cool because like, I think of like Isabel Bosley right now. She's grooms for Lily and she's over, you know, at the big one. And, you know, but then she's got her own team that she's getting ready to prepare for.
She's going to be on that team,
I kind of wondered about that. And I wonder if, you know, people listening, hey, you know, go ahead, go for the grooming position and learn.
Do it.
Get the inside.
Because it's very doable and it's a huge education. You know, riding and managing horses are 2 different beasts and you got to be able to do both.
Yeah, true.
And so now you said you would have with Holly. How long were you with Holly?
I was with Holly from 2008 to 2012. Okay. Yeah, maybe late 2007 to 2012. So, you know, quite a few years.
Yeah.
And then I immediately, when we came out here, I knew that I wanted to stay out here. I was like, okay, this is where, you know, this is really where the sport is being really played. There's a lot more access. You had to do a lot of traveling in California. And we were at Bucks. And so I just was like, can I have a job? And so I went to London and left my horses at Bucks while we were in London for a solid 3+ weeks. And then I immediately flew back and immediately started working for Buck.
Wow.
Right after the Olympics.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how did you start accumulating horses? Were you accumulating like ownership people or were your folks?
No, my dad owned the horses. He was, So I was very, very lucky. I had a lot of family support. So we had, I came to Bucks. I had 3 at the time. 2 were going advanced and 1 was a younger horse. They were all personally owned. And I was, like I said, I was very, very lucky to have family support. And, but my dad was, you know, if he was buying and paying for the horses, you better have a job. You better be working for it. And, that was always the deal. And so, always had, you know, a couple of my own, which I was very, very lucky to have.
Cool. And before I get off the Holly, I felt really bad. We got our pictures with these guys and Holly, and I turned around. I wanted to say hello to Holly's husband because I've always wanted to meet him, and he was gone. He disappeared. And so by chance anyone's listening out there, if he's listening, like I need to meet him one day because he's a retired Marine. He's a retired Marine. And
oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I want to meet him. But I think we would hit it off, but unfortunately, he just disappeared into the
sea of the trade fair.
Yeah.
So hopefully, one of these days, I get to meet him because I'd like to meet him. So then you went to work for Buck, and was that a regular working student position, or did you help groom there, or what was?
No, that was more of a working student position, and it was awesome. And I will say that, like, you don't realize, like, you know, I worked very hard at Holly's, and then I came to Bucks, and it was a lot more horses, and the East Coast, it was very, very fast paced. And so it took a second to kind of like, okay, this is a little different. But it was awesome. And again, some of my greatest memories are from being a working student. Woodge Fulton and I worked there the whole time together. It was awesome. You know, like, it's hard work, no doubt. And there's some nights where you're just like, oh my gosh, we're never going to get this all done. How is this all going to work? But it was amazing. And Buck's been a tremendous supporter. I still ride with him. I was over at his place having a lesson today, and he is fantastic. And he's been a huge part of my career. So I think going there was probably the best thing I ever did.
Wow. Very cool. And would you come back to Pennsylvania? Was that where?
Yeah. So we would do Ocala, Pennsylvania, do the move every 6 months, lots of time on the road, yeah. You know, horses in every state. But it's great. You know, you just learn how to do, you know, you learn how to drive the big trucks, and you learn how to change a tire, and, you know, all the things that you don't really think you're going to need to know until you really do. And so I feel like I can do many things now, Zoom included. So, you know,
if you could change a tire on a big rig, do Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. I even have my own impact wrench now. Yes, we don't mess around. But it was awesome. It was great, you know. So it was basically almost 10 years of being a working student groom. And I wouldn't trade it. It was awesome.
See, that's good to know. Like, I like to hear that too. Like, yeah. Okay, here, this is the time it took. It took a long time. So
yeah, it was, yeah. And when I left Bucks, it was probably a little earlier than what I initially would have done, but my dad had passed away, and I just needed a second. So and that's kind of why that, you know, when I went off on my own. So I don't know, who knows how long I would have stayed. Probably would have had to kick me out at some point.
So well, that takes us kind of up to today. So today's mm-hmm. business, tell us about your place and what you do out of there.
So I'm based out of a really great farm called Hidden Oaks, and it's in Ocala. Owned by some really great people, Todd Brooks and Patrick McMahon. And, you know, initially it just started off as I needed a place to board. I had two horses when I left Bucks, and I needed a place to board. And they really, you know, gave me an opportunity to start a business and grow a business there. And I'm forever grateful, because, you know, that was just luck landing there. And I've been there 6 years. And almost 6 years this September. And I would say the majority of my business is teaching. So I have a lot of, I teach quite a few lessons, and I've got a great client base. I would say my main demographic is adult amateurs, and they're fantastic. And then I have a couple young riders. And so that would be, I think, my, you know, mainly what I do is a lot of teaching. As of late, you know, I've done some sales, but I wouldn't say that's my thing. You know, it just a horse or two needed to be sold, and that's worked out well. And then, but it's not my main focus. And then, you know, I've got the competition horses, and then in kind of as the season winds down, like last year, I taught a clinic at least once or twice a month from probably May to September, October, which was awesome. And, that's kind of the business model. I think we've got, near 15 horses maybe in, and I've got the girl that works for me is fantastic. And, we make it work. And I've got a really, really awesome group of people, that I get to work with. So I consider myself very lucky.
Yeah. That's awesome. Tell us about your clinics a little bit. I'm always interested in clinics, Karen, because, mm-hmm. you know, everyone does them a little bit different.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, as far as like, do you travel like all over? Do you have like a limit? And
so, I go back to Park City, quite a bit. It's my hometown, which is awesome. So I get to, you know, every time I get to go there, I get to stay with my mom and see my mom, which is great. And, got a few clients there that actually come now to Ocala for the winter, which is fantastic. And so And it's cool there because I went back once a month last year. So you actually really get to know the riders and the horses. And like I said, Utah is a difficult place to ride out of, but there's a small group of very serious people that do it, and they're great. And they've got, you know, they've got great horses. They're, you know, they're very into it. And it's an awesome group of people. So I go back there. And then I go to my friend, up in Seattle. I go to her place. I went to her place once a month last year too. And, we had a blast, and that was a bit of a smaller clinic, but again, it's same riders, same horses. So as you kind of progress through the summer, you get to see people, you know, improving, and you get to kind of know people. I think what's difficult about clinics is you don't really know, you know, you don't know the horse, you don't know the rider, you only have a certain amount of time. So I think when you're kind of going back repeatedly, it's pretty cool because you can say, wow, that was so much better than last month. So like whatever you're doing is really working. And I think that's very cool. And you get a little bit invested.
Yeah. I think that's cool that you're going to like back to the hometown, but there's not a lot of eventing. So yeah, for you to come back, advanced level rider coming back, coaching people. That sounds fantastic.
And it's fun.
Do you have openings for any more clinics, or are you pretty booked up between those?
Yeah, no, I always try to get into new places. And, and it's especially as the summer starts to roll on, you know, there's a little bit less showing and a little more open time. And so it'd be great to get to some new spots.
Yeah. Very cool. That's always cool. Can we ask about Kentucky? You know, tell us tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, bring it on.
Give us the whole thing. It didn't quite go as planned. Spoiler alert.
It did not.
But could you give us a little bit? Tell us about your horse and tell us, you know, the level. And you know, you were doing really well at the dressage. You were, I think, to like top 15.
Yeah, she was fantastic on the flat. So I've had Ellie since she was, I got her late in her 7-year-old year. And she's been just a game changer for me. I mean, all the things I've got to do with her, she's really upped the level of my riding. And just, you know, I've run into a few little things at this level. You know, I would be, you know, it's not like I've done a million 4-stars. I would be fairly green at this level still. And so I think, especially with what I found the most difficult was that really up until last fall, I don't think I'd had, or maybe one, but I hadn't had any problems with her. So when it goes that smooth, you almost get lured into this false sense of like, oh, I can do anything. And then you make one mistake, which obviously we're going to make it. That's how it goes. And then you feel like, oh my gosh. Right. And doubt starts to creep in. But so we had a little bit of a difficult fall season last year, and then really worked through the winter, kind of put the wheels back on the bus. And actually she had had a great spring, and I had missed a run at both Stableview and Chap, we're just dealing with a little bit of an abscess, and you know, then she came back fine. And so went to Kentucky. And she was phenomenal on the flat, which I was really excited about because I would say that phase was never my strong suit. And I have been working so hard. And so to feel like it's getting better and to get better in a atmosphere like that was really cool and very rewarding. And I, you know, she felt great out of the start. And I really, you know, that coffin was obviously quite difficult. And I don't think she understood it. I think, you know, kind of trying to get back to it was difficult. And I also think like one thing I've never seen, she's never seen, are people, lots of people. And you kind of like don't realize what that feels like until you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many people here. And then like, you know, in watching the video and kind of breaking it down, thinking, okay, you know, what I should have done was go back around and jump the ditch again and give her a straighter line. So I actually think there was a lot to be learned from what happened. I really don't think she understood it. She's a very genuine horse. But I think, you know, walking away from Kentucky, yeah, it didn't go as planned. And I think then what becomes difficult is kind of getting your mental game back up to speed when you're going to an event next week, we're going to try on. But also walking away from it saying, you know what, like what I did learn was like, take a breath, figure out the best way to get back to it. Like, you know, and just kind of trying to slow your brain down when there's all those people around and when it's such an electric atmosphere and there's no way to emulate that. So the only way to figure that out and to learn that is to do it. And whether you, you know, fail at it or you succeed at it, that's really the only way you're going to do it. And so, I'm not, you know, I schooled her today. She felt very, very good. I'm not walking away feeling too defeated. But, you know, we'll be, you know, trying to get back focused for next week. And all you can do really is, you know, if you're not winning, you're learning, right? So you're doing a lot of learning.
Well, and you had some positives. You did the dressage, you know, and everything like that.
Totally. And yeah, there were a lot of positives to take. And also too, like, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to ride there. That weekend, you know, I rode there at the AECs last year, and I got to say, it felt totally different doing it on this particular weekend. I've been to Kentucky quite a few times. I've groomed there quite a few times, and to walk down that ramp on your own horse and to do a test like that, and then, you know, to walk out and see all your friends and the people that have backed you, even when things have gone, you know, really, really wrong or have gone really, really right. Like, it's super emotional. It's very overwhelming. I was really overwhelmed. Like, it was awesome. And so, yeah, I mean, it didn't go perfect. And of course I would have liked to walk away with a different result. But I think too, we have to remember like what a privilege it is to actually be able to walk down that ramp. And so like that meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Do you, Lisa Wallace mentioned that on her, like in social media, I saw where she had mentioned that her horse was a little bit taken aback by the crowds. I thought it was, I mean, I've not been to every Kentucky, you know, whatever, but
there was a lot of
it
people.
Seemed like people were like so excited to get back. It was packed. Every place on course was packed. There was not an empty place. I mean, it was incredible. Yeah. It was a fantastic turnout. So I was so happy for that because at the Kentucky,
the sport needed it. Amazing for the sport. I mean, that's, you know, that's awesome. And awesome. So, you know, there wasn't quite as many people there in the morning for the 4-star, but there was definitely, it was a lot more people than I've ridden in front of.
Yeah. What was she giving you back that you felt?
She actually felt very game. I mean, she came out of the box and like, I mean, she was like, all right. And she actually, like, she seems to really rise to the occasion at big events. She's a very quiet horse, very workmanlike. She just kind of shows up for work every day. And so like for me, the atmosphere and the dressage, I actually think really helps her. She kind of puffs up a bit. Mm. And she's kind, you know, she kind of likes to, you know, I'm here. And she kind of likes to show off a bit, but she's a real, real competitor. And so I think she actually enjoys electric environments, which her name is Electric Lux. So that suits. you know, I think it was a genuine, she didn't quite understand the question. And then once it was difficult to represent, and then I think maybe the people, but like I said, in retrospect, I really should have gone back around behind the A, jumped the B again. Experience is what you need right after you get it, right?
Yeah. And hindsight's
2020.
That's where you learn. That's where you learn, you know. And
exactly. And like I said, I schooled her today, and she felt super. So I don't, you know, I think, you know, it didn't. She is no worse for the wear. Yeah. And all you can do is just keep going. Keep going.
I got a great idea: is to come get back in the crowds, go to Maryland for the 3-star. I know it's not, but it's big crowds, big atmosphere.
Yeah, there are big crowds, and you never know. Yeah, I mean, you never know what plan we're going to.
Just saying. I guess it would be nice to see you again in our backyard.
And I would actually love to come. I mean, I love coming up there, and we're coming up for the fall anyway. So, you never know. You just never know.
There we go. Boom, we got our first entry for the
3-star. There we go.
There you go.
Or she could do the 5-star.
Or you could do the, well. I was thinking that too, but then I don't want to say it because I don't want to like put the pressure. And may I ask, you also have a new little one. You mentioned your husband, like you have a little one at home too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our son, he's 2.5.
Aww.
And he's awesome. He's wild. and I think, that changes the game in a great way, actually. I think it offers a whole different perspective. And you have a good day, you have a bad day at the barn, doesn't matter, you come home, you still, like, they act like you're the coolest person in town. Yeah. And so I hadn't, he was not in Kentucky with me. So, you know, I got home and he just came screaming out the door and gave me a big hug. And, you know, all's right with the world, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's been really cool.
That's being awesome. A mom.
It's hard work. I mean, man, it is hard work. You know, no one really prepares you for how hard it is, but it's very rewarding. And like I said, it's really changed my perspective kind of on life, really. And just, you know, it's, you can have, you know, you come home. I came home from that. That was a long drive home after, you know, it doesn't go so great. And, I got home that evening and he just, you know, comes screaming out the door, "Mama," and just latches on. And I'm like, oh, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Kids can definitely make or break your day.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can. And he's a real handful, but, no, he's great. It's by far the best thing.
Has he been on?
I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. He is very, very into anything with a motor. And my husband isn't very into dirt biking. And so I have a feeling he already has a dirt bike. He's 2.5 years old. So I have a feeling we're going to be a dirt bike rider.
That's cool.
He's going to be riding motocross, but not a horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Something with two wheels and not four legs. Yeah.
That's cool. You know.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right. So, Natalia, we are going to play quick fire questions.
Quick fire questions.
Yep.
And quick fire questions is brought to you by Red and Goat Equestrian. Rainy season is here. So get your waterproof rain gear by going to redandgoatequestrian.com.
Bam.
All right. So I brought my Red and Goat for Kentucky because they're great. They're so warm. They called for some rain on Saturday. We got lucky.
Everybody can thank Karen for bringing her renegade and me for buying an umbrella on Friday.
Yeah, you warded off the storm.
I carried that umbrella all day Friday. You warded off the storm.
There you go.
And there we go. So you're welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
I will take all the credit for that.
Yeah,
the weather people could not have been more wrong, and thankfully
they were. Yeah, it turned out to be a beautiful weekend. All right, so we're gonna do quick fire questions. It has 5 questions. You don't have to be quick, but we do have strict grading at the end. So
strict grading.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. So you ready?
Yo, ready. All right. Fire away.
Favorite rider growing up?
Pippa Funnel.
Oh, that was a good one.
Did you get to meet Pippa when you were there?
I actually got to hack back to the barns with her, and I was like, it was like the biggest fangirl moment.
Oh.
Did you tell her you were a fan, or did you play it cool?
Oh, yeah. I asked for a picture with her. Yeah. I was like, you never know when I'm going to be able to do this again. I'm going to give him a picture with you.
That's awesome.
That is cool.
She's a legend.
Yeah. All right. So if eventing was not an option, what other riding discipline would you want to try?
Cutting.
Oh, good answer.
That is a good one. Yeah, we get that one quite a bit.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
It looks awesome. Mm-hmm. It looks awesome.
All right. Do you have any good luck rituals or superstitions before you leave the start box?
I always FaceTime my son before I go cross country.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Like, how long before you leave the start box? Like, so we can get a...
I make sure I just do it in that morning. Probably, you know, an hour and a half before I go. Call him, tell him I love him. Him and my husband.
That's nice. Him and your husband.
He can't quite
use the phone yet, so...
Since the husband's there, I'll send him a love too.
Love you too.
No. All right. What is your one favorite thing about the sport of eventing?
Camaraderie.
That's
very true.
Answer.
Yes.
Excellent
very
answer.
Good. Yes.
High points.
Listen, what? High points. Yes.
Again, no pressure. You're doing super, super well.
Yeah.
Don't fold.
Don't fold.
All right. So last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
Hmm. Well, that's a tough one. Probably. Nereo.
Ooh.
Of Andrew Nicholson's.
Yeah. Good answer. I like that horse
a lot.
Yeah,
very good answer.
That's one of my favorites, too. I don't know why. I think I'm an Andrew Nicholson guy. And then Nereo.
I'm a big fan as well.
Yeah. The Silver Fox, Karen.
Yep. Yep.
He's just a cool dude. He just strikes me as super cool. I'd like to have a beer with him. I think he would sit down and have a pint with me.
As long as you don't call him the Silver Fox while you're having the...
Yeah, but I'll give you $100 if you do.
Listen, I'm not afraid to ask dumb questions to freak you out. So,
there you go.
Get that hundy ready.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta save up.
I'll FaceTime you when I do it.
Yes.
I'll say, here you go, pony up.
Well,
A++.
Of course.
Excellent. Of course.
Good job.
I love the answers. I love the Nereo at the end.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of great horses. And
so many.
But that's a horse that I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. He just stands out to me. I mean, there's a lot of great horses, but that Nereo stands out to me. Just the whole thing, the way Andrew Nicholson would ride him. I don't know. I like him. I don't know.
He's very special.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Bam. Awesome.
Good job.
Excellent work.
So, Natalia, do you have any advice for that young rider trying to make it in this sport?
Yeah, I mean, so much. No, I think you really have to find a program and be all in. You know, find someone that works for you and just soak it all up and learn everything you can. And I also think that you really just have to realize that there are going to be a lot of really difficult days. And if you can just keep pushing through those days, that you can do it, you know, it can be done. But it's not, and it's not easy, but, I think the real big thing is really committing to a program, even if for a while it doesn't go exactly how you want it to, because it, you know, every time you change your swing, you don't immediately get it. And I think what happens now a lot is it doesn't go well for a couple months, they on to the next, and you don't get any better that way. You can't keep going after what you want to hear. You got to hear what you don't, and you got to get things. That's how you get better. And so that would be my real advice. And, you know, that's kind of advice that, you know, I grew up with. My dad was, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And I think that's my biggest piece of advice is just, you know, put your head down, work hard. The only thing you can control in this sport really is how hard you work and show up. Yeah. That's it.
Very true.
I love it.
Great
advice. Is Buck your coach for dressage also?
Mm-hmm. He's my coach for everything.
Wow. So he's got you for everything. That's awesome. Fantastic. May I piggyback off of that question, Karen? And ask about, since Natalia, you work with a lot of adult amateurs. We get a lot of adult amateurs that say, hey, why don't you ever ask about adult amateurs?
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of times we don't ask that question because not every guest works with adult amateurs. A lot of our guests work with just young, aspiring people. So as someone that works with the adult amateur, would you give any different advice in that? Or is that pretty much, you know, the same advice?
I think for adult amateurs, I think you have to really, again, it wouldn't be too different, but, you know, finding someone that really works for you, that someone that can be really flexible around whatever your work schedule is. You know, I work with a lot of wonderful, mainly women who are in really high power jobs, which I think is awesome. And they're tremendously intelligent, but their schedules are busy and you really have to allow flexibility for that. And finding someone that you trust and that you can trust that will help you reach your goals. And, you know, finding a horse that is, you know, super safe and that can do what you want to do, whether that's, you know, be beginner novice champion of the world, or if you want to do your first one star or anything like that. But I think finding a coach that can really be flexible with your schedule and understands your goals and how to get you there. So it's, you know, same thing, kind of basing yourself with someone that you really trust, and that might tell you things you don't want to hear, but you know, that's life.
So. Do you coach the same for your adult amateurs as you would a young rider that's trying to, you know, go for it?
I try to hold everyone to the same standard, you know, like we always want to make it better. If someone is telling me, you know, that they're not comfortable with something or something, like, you know, some of the adult amateurs that they only want to do, you know, if they only want to do beginner novice, like, that's great. We're going to go win every beginner novice in the world. If I have a young rider that comes and says, you know, I want to go here, I want to do a 3-star at the end of the year, you know, then you have to recognize how much you can push. So I don't think it's actually necessarily amateur or young rider. I think it's each individual. How much can you push out of the comfort zone to improve, but not make them doubt, like, you know, doubt themselves, get scared, lose their confidence, you know, knowing when to move them up or when to stick at the level. You know, I'm a big believer in it's better to do, you know, one more than one too few. And I think it's mainly individual. I wouldn't say I'm different between young riders and amateurs, but everybody has a different goal. And my job as coach is to understand that, and how do I get them there? And everybody learns differently. You know, some people really respond to like the big push and kind of real intensity, and some people don't. And I think you have to recognize that as well.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, there we go. So for the adult amateurs that get frustrated, we don't ask that question. It's just for that reason I explained, was just not everybody coaches adult right. amateurs.
And, yeah. And they are they're our sport. I mean, if you look at like the numbers of who's going upper level, it's very small compared to, you know, beginner, novice in training. That is the main demographic. That is who is doing this, who is loving this, who wants to be involved in this. And so, you know, I think we have to, as, you know, as professionals, you really have to make time for that.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Love it. Awesome. Well, I just don't want our listeners to ever think that we're not thinking of them when we're asking these questions. It's, you know, I have a whole lot more in common with an adult amateur than I do an up and coming teenager.
yeah, me too.
So, well, thank you for answering those very, very thoroughly and honestly. So, we always like to ask about sponsors and supporters. So, who do you got behind in your corner there?
So many. I mean, really, it's, you know, obviously my family is huge. Buck is huge. And I have a really great group of, you know, owners and clients who, you know, it would take me a long time to list everybody's name, but they know who they are. And I'm so, so grateful to every one of them. And, sponsors, we got World Equestrian Brands and Flair and Champion and Toklet and, Buckeye Feed, trying to think, I don't want to forget anybody, but everybody's been really just awesome. I mean, it's not a lie when they say it takes a village, and it really does. And you've got to find good people and keep them in your corner. And it doesn't have to be, you know, your corner can be small, but it's the quality of the people you have with you.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, it just kind of dawned on me that.
And Success Equestrian Saddle Pets.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yes. Very cool. I was like, oh man, I really need to write this list down.
Sorry about that. We put her on the spot a little bit.
I know.
So when we saw you at Kentucky, you were doing like a meet and greet at the World Equestrian Brands, and you were with Allie and Holly, and they're all coached by Buck as well.
Yep.
So there we go. So World Equestrian Brands is a real, like, they definitely seem to.
Yeah, we're a real family. Yeah. It's like a real family. World of Crushing Brains is fantastic. Robin Moore is absolutely fantastic.
There you go. Buck has a very dedicated, when, like, we interviewed Buck students and they all just love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, we've interviewed Buck and we see him around and, you know, the whole thing, but he really has a knack for, he must do something really, really right. 'Cause your loyalty to him and, you know, the team, everyone always comes back to Buck. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think it goes so far beyond the riding. I can really only speak, you know, for myself, but, like, I know when my dad died, I had a, you know, it was obviously really difficult and, you know, for a while there, I wasn't totally sure that I was going to keep going with the riding or if, like, how was I going to make it work? And, I really credit Buck with helping me get back on my feet, mentally and, figure that out, because that was, you know, probably the most difficult thing I've been through to date. And, you know, at Kentucky, walking down the ramp into the dressage, he said, just think of how proud your dad would be right now. Mm-hmm. And I held it together for the whole test. And when I got out, I just cried like a baby, because it's true. And he definitely has the best seat in the house. But so, like, for me with Buck, it goes, you know, he's obviously a great coach, but he's able to help, you know, get people back on their feet when they think they can't stand on them anymore.
Wow. Yeah. Oh. Are you tearing up over here?
No, I'm a manly man over here.
Manly man. No. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that, like, for me, that's the big thing is, and the whole Buck family, I mean, you know, Buck, Allie, Holly, yeah, like, there, you always have someone in your corner. Like, you know, it's, and you can't replace that. So, awesome. You know, if I stopped riding tomorrow, I would, you know, have this wonderful group of friends. And if that's what I got out of this whole thing, then it would be well worth it.
Yeah.
I think that's got to be so special. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I'm a sentimental guy, but, like, if I was, you know, you and Holly sitting together, I didn't realize that you worked for her for so long and she was, you know, your coach and helped really kind of get you really jumpstarted and going as a professional. Like, that's gotta be special sitting there next to your old coach, you know,
yeah,
as peers, as, you know, on the same, yeah, team for level. So that's really
totally
awesome.
And I gotta give a really big shout out to my husband who puts up with this sport. And without him too, it's just, none of it would happen. And, you know, it was great. You know, I was away for a week in Kentucky and he has the baby and he FaceTimes me every day. And he's just, you know, he's always got my back. And I think that's huge too, is having family, because this sport is hard on everybody. You know, it's hard on the family too. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of sacrifice on so many fronts. And I think without that, just, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
Mm-hmm. So, last question of the night, Karen. We just always had to ask you, Natalia, how do people follow along? And, you know, if people want to follow along, you know, on your journey, socials, or if they want to contact you about clinics or, you know, lessons. Or
so, we all know how great I am with technology. And the girl, it's so cute. I have these two, the girl that works for me and one of the other girls I coach, they're always, you know, giving me grief about how bad I am at social media, but they're like, oh, it's like, oh, you can't do that. That's so tacky. And I'm like, oh, but it's so funny, you know? And, so I was like, I'm just gonna have to hire you as my social media manager, because apparently I'm really behind the times. But, I do have an Instagram page. It's, Nenneman Eventing. And I do have a Facebook page, Natalia Nenneman Eventing. And, I think my Facebook page has my phone number. So if anyone ever wanted to contact me, they could just give me, I am a good old fashioned telephone call type of person, even or text, but, so you can follow us along that way. And I really am trying, you know, to up my Instagram game. I get grief for it about every day. But I'm getting pretty good at it now.
That's awesome. Aww. Are you? Do you need any help now? Before we let you go, is there are you fully staffed? Or we know everyone's always seen.
Oh like, yeah, no. I actually am staffed very well, and I've got a great girl that works for me. Her name's Leah Kilpatrick, and she's awesome. We might need some help in the winter because we'll have more horses, but. Ooh. When that comes to it, I'll put an ad out on the Instagram. Oh gosh, Instagram on the gram.
Well, shout out to our Major League Eventers group. We have a help wanted thread.
So people don't
know about it. They can look at the top of the Major League Eventers group, and it's pinned to the top, and it has like a help wanted sign. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for work or if you're looking for help. Put your posts in there. We're trying to keep all the posts in there in the group. So that way it's kind of like it's in one spot instead of scrolling. So
I like to do my Instagram posts with like, you know, music and little animated GIFs. And they're always like, oh, don't do that. Oh my God, don't do that. You're so old. Don't do that. And so now I just do it to make them irritated.
I'm a GIF guy too. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, me too. I think they're hilarious. And they're like, they're always like, oh my gosh.
I like the gifts. Hey, I was obviously for show research, I was creeping. I saw where you were giving like Braden lessons. Were you giving like Braden lessons not too long ago to some students?
Oh yeah, I was actually teaching Leah how to braid. So yeah, you gotta be able to do it all. Like I said, yeah. You gotta be able to braid, you gotta be able to change tires, you know. Drive trucks, and so much of it is not riding, right? It's everything else. Because and if you don't know how to do all that, then it doesn't really work.
Well, there's exactly. Olympic level braid she's teaching Karen. So
yeah, admittedly, it had been a while since I braided, so when I did one, I was like, oh, I still got it. Oh. Yeah, it looked pretty good.
Were your fingers sore?
Yeah, I mean, I can braid a few. It's amazing, and when you're not doing it a lot. I don't know if it's bad that I'm admitting that I'm afraid of it, but you do. You're like, oh my God, my hands hurt. My hands are sore.
So ridiculous. In your sleep, but, probably.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we used to braid a lot.
Did you have a favorite of those championships, the Olympics and all these things? Did you have a favorite experience?
I think for me, the World Games in Kentucky in 2010, it was... Really? I mean, Canada had a great showing. They were silver medal, which was awesome. But it was just like a fun group of people. We really celebrated on Sunday night. Our horse missed its flight. We showed up to the barn and it was like, are you coming to the airport? And we thought the flight was the next day. And it was just awesome. I mean, you just see these teams come together and what they're capable of doing. And, I met some of my very best friends through grooming all those years. And, all those trips, but that one really stands out. I mean, so it was really fun. You know, I'll leave it at that. It was really fun. Our horse missed the flight. We really, you know, we were like, shoot, you know, but we had a silver medal, so it didn't really matter much. It was, oh, she'll catch the flight next week.
Yeah, horses fly. Like, that's like catching another flight for me, right?
You're right.
Yeah, I was like, oops. And I admittedly, at least I wasn't actually in charge of that one, but because that would have been a really, really big oops. But nothing was going to bring us down after that weekend. That was the coolest. And I believe Michael Young won it that year. That was like the first time that he had really kind of came on to, like, you know, we all knew who he was then. And he won the gold there. And it was awesome. I mean, it was just awesome. Every single trip was amazing. I mean, I can't, but that one really stands out.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah. It was cool.
Well, Karen, was this fantastic?
This was great.
Yeah. It was so great. Yeah. Best smile in the sport too, Kim.
No, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Best smile in the sport. You want to be cheered up. Privately, I don't know. It's like, it's nice when you see someone that smiles and they have a nice smile. Like, I don't have a great smile, but I like seeing someone with a nice smile because it puts a smile on your face. I think smiles are contagious. Mm-hmm. And you have a very good smile.
That is true. And you just, you know, I always say we're lucky to do what we do. And so, you know, not a whole lot to complain about.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Might as well smile.
Stay in touch. We'll see you at the Maryland, you know,
Yeah, we'll see you up there. I'm sure I'll see you. So I'm sure I'll see you somewhere.
Yes, awesome, yes, awesome. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being.
Or we'll be coming down in an RV to Ocala.
Yeah, we'll come
down.
Do RV. You know, actually, I lived in an RV or a camper for 2 years while I was working, and I loved it. See? Easy to clean.
See that? Oh, there we go.
Karen's like, and we're done.
All right. On that note, we're gonna get in trouble.
There you go. No. It was so nice to meet you guys. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's show. Please like Major League Venting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And join our community, Major League Venters, on Facebook. Cheers.